Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for Thursday, the 21st of October, 2021. I'm joined by Leo.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about what's happening in America and how Biden's destroying it. What happened at the, what's it called, COP26?
Climate Summit. Yeah, so it hasn't happened yet. It's in November.
Right, but it's coming up, is it?
It's coming up. And the wheels are already coming off it. Which should make it more environmentally friendly, because if the wheels come off something, it can't move and burn diesel.
And we're also going to be talking about the amazing Netflix walkout, which has been incredible.
Yeah.
But before we get into it, we've got loads of stuff up on the website that I've got to shill. So we've got a new audio track for one of the older articles, The Unraveling of the Fake News Matrix by Hugo. Then we've got an article by Harry, which is The Unbearable Artificiality of Late Night Talk Shows, which is really good. I was reading through this before I started. And another article by Luna about just what if we all said no. Good question. We also have another video by Mark Horton, not so obvious, about finding authenticity in a world of abstractions. Now, I was at this conference when he gave this talk, and it was a really, really good one because, frankly, things that are real have more value than things that are digital, and that's obviously true. But also there's the sort of more intellectual side of the things we're doing. Callum and myself recorded this Origin of Intersectionality because it's worth knowing where all this stuff comes from. Comes from Kimberly Crenshaw, and we recorded the first of the podcasts about the great Bible of critical race theory that will be coming up soon, and Thomas and myself have been going through what critical theory is, so you can see the deep roots of the malign influences that we're facing now, and that's really good. And tomorrow we'll be going to record part two of this, because you need to know this stuff. So that's all on the website, and so without further ado, because we have a lot to get through, let's talk about Biden's demented United States of America. Everything I see coming out of America these days is absolutely back to front. It's like being in a hall of mirrors. Like the opposite of what you should be seeing coming out of a responsible government is what Biden is doing. And so first things is his Build Back Better bill, the $3.5 trillion spending agenda that they claim has a price tag of zero.
Man, the thing is, so they're generating so much money. And this is, for me, for a government, particularly a supposedly conservative, Republican, right-wing government, to be spending money.
Well,
like
he's not, he's a Democrat, so...
yeah, but they're... Oh, yeah, sorry. It's still, like, you know, supposed to be conservative. For them to be, like, printing money and spending money, he's the sort of drunk chancellor of Zimbabwe. It's it's ridiculous. I think, is it 40% of all the dollars in existence were printed last year?
I would not be surprised, because this is just literally money printer go burr, right? And so, but they're claiming this is going to have a price tag of zero. And what they mean is this is going to add to the federal debt zero, because they're just going to tax people to reap this money.
Which isn't the same as it not costing anything.
No, it's not even slightly. But the thing is, all of these projections always end up sort of tailing off anyway, because people end up moving their money outside of the reach of the government. Mm. So they're never going to get this money back, so it will add to the debt.
And quantitative easing, in its essence, contributes hugely to inequality, because all the extra money that's printed...
We'll get to that. You're jumping ahead, because, it's all coming, right? And so when asked about this, Joe Sacchi was just like, does the president really believe, if we can go to the next one, John, that Build Back Better does not add a dime to the national debt? And she's like, correct, it won't. And the reporter's just like, well, why should Americans believe that? And she's just like, because it won't. It's like, oh, well, if you say so then, Jen, then I'll just... it just won't. Right, okay, moving on. How's inflation looking in the United States at the moment? Well, not good. 5.4%. Why? Because the Biden administration is just pumping literally trillions of dollars out into the economy.
Yeah.
Well, that has an effect, right? And this is an increase in the inflation as well. August had a 5.3%. This is now 5.4% in September. I'm sure that by November we'll find out that it's even higher for October.
Yeah.
And so not good. And this is essentially just theft from poor people.
Yep. Theft from everybody. If you've got savings, it's theft.
Absolutely.
Quantitative easing steals from prudent financial savers and hands the money to borrowers.
That's right. But the people who are least impacted by this are the people with millions of dollars, because why would they care? It's not their problem that, you know, petrol prices have gone up or the food prices have gone up, because they're incredibly rich. No, yeah. It's really poor people who have this problem.
And also, the richer you are, the more likely you are to own fixed assets such as property or...
that go up in value.
Or shares or anything like that that goes up in value. The extra money that's created flows into these assets.
Absolutely. But,
so then it contributes to inequality, because if you own these assets, you're cushioned. The money flows to you. If you don't have any assets, if you're just living paycheck to paycheck, you've got a family, you've got a blue collar job, then you're
screwed.
You're screwed.
Yeah, and so this was finally admitted by like mainstream media, where one CNBC commentator was just like, well, yeah, it was worse than expected, worse than we thought it would be. Well, I mean, any Austrian economist has been saying this is a terrible idea, and all of the modern monetary theorists have been like, no, it'll be fine, there won't be major inflation. And major inflation's arrived. But anyway, let's move on to the supply chain problems. Why are there supply chain problems? Well, nobody seems to have a solid answer on this, which is weird, because you'd think it is something that people would know something about. But so this was an article on worldgrain.com talking about how the Port of Los Angeles has been apparently will be operating around the clock in a bid to regain terminal space and things like this. But rail, barge, ocean freight and trucking are all down. And of course, the fuel prices have gone up. So this is making all things more difficult. So the transport secretary for the United States, Pete Buttigieg, has said, well, the bottlenecks we're seeing at our nation's ports are exactly why we've been calling for a generational investment in our infrastructure, so validating the trillions of spending. As our economy continues to grow, we must build port and freight infrastructure that can handle increased demand. But why is there suddenly increased demand? What's going on? And, you know, Mayor Pete has basically been on maternity leave, so this is his first statement on this in weeks. If we can get to the next one, you can see that he's just been having a month off. Weird.
I like how you called it maternity leave instead of paternity leave.
Well,
because I think that's correct.
That's what they call it. I didn't actually say that. But, you know, so I don't know why his husband can't take care of the children while he's doing his job. But
how did they have babies?
They adopted them.
Right.
So anyway, supply chain problems, say it was the New York Times, I think, is the next one. Washington Post. Just lower your expectations. Literally. That's what they say. So they're complaining that, well, they point out, well, a huge flotilla of container ships is stuck offshore in California waiting to unload. American consumers, their expectations pampered and catered to for decades, are not accustomed to inconvenience. So the problem is the consumers. The problem is the people who want to buy things.
Well, how come when it happens in the UK, it's blamed on Brexit?
Well, exactly.
Is Brexit impacting California now?
I mean, good, if it is. For generations, American shoppers have been trained to be nightmares, says Amanda Mull in The Atlantic in August. The pandemic has shown just how desperately the consumer class clings to the feeling of being served. Customers' persistent whine, why don't they just hire more people, sounds feeble in this era of the great resignation, especially in industries such as food service with reputations being tough places to work. Why are these people resigning? Because Biden is literally paying them more to stay at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Pumping this money into the economy and just giving it to people for free means they don't have to work, which is surely going to have no long-term consequences.
Yeah, I mean, at least under communism, people were forced at gunpoint to work.
I suppose there is that.
I think Biden should, if he's gonna institute this sort of communism light, like paying everybody this wage, at least bring in the guns as well. get people down the salt mines.
Well, careful what you wish for, because I think that'll eventually get to that point. But I love some of the comments here. I understand people are getting frustrated, but it's time for people to take a chill pill. I'm just going to not have the things I usually have. So just accept it. Just accept you're not going to have these things. And if we can get to the next one, Wally Ademio, the Biden administration's second highest official in the Treasury Department, said, the reality is that the only way we're going to get to a place where we can work through this transition is if everyone in America and everyone around the world gets vaccinated.
What's that got to do with like the buildup of ships off the coast of California?
Well, take a guess.
Oh, the people in the ships haven't been vaccinated, so they're worried they're going to bring in...
The truck drivers need to be vaccinated, and if they're not, they're getting fired.
Oh, really? Why does a truck driver need to be vaccinated?
That's a great question.
Are they going to give like coronavirus to a prostitute they pick up? I mean, there is no need for a truck driver to be vaccinated. They're in a cab.
You would think so, wouldn't you? But no. But anyway, he says, describing the disastrous economic conditions as, quote, an economy that's in transition. There's a lot of transitioning going on around these days. He says, we are seeing high prices for some of the things that people have to buy. While he praised the administration's stimulus payments, he also pinned the blame squarely on the unvaccinated. He explained that the primary reason that Biden continue to push for everyone to be vaccinated because only then could the White House, quote, provide the resources the American people need to make it to the other side of the supply chain problem. Sounds like they're being held hostage, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is, I mean, everything seems to lead back to you know, sort of strong-arming people into getting vaccinated.
Yeah, but also I'm very concerned about the provide the resources the American people need, as if the White House is the creator and author of all of the resources and productivity and prosperity of America.
Well, it is when they're printing like $4.5 you know, trillion. How much is it?
$3.5 for that one, but they've done this previously for a trillion as well. So it's got to be looking at about $5 trillion in Biden's like 8 months, 9 months of being president. So it looks, I mean, like all I'm saying is if you're trying to destroy America, what else would you do?
Yeah, right. And considering, you know, traditionally the Democrats have been famous as a sort of fiscally conservative.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
balancing the books. Well, I mean, they
claim they are.
Under Clinton, I mean, the books were balanced, and then, you know, Bush came in and, you know, slashed taxes and stuff, so that, you know, there was a bit
starts
of a disparity.
Accumulating debt,
but this is just, I mean, this is just insanity.
It's mad. Quantitative
easing is it's theft.
Yes, it is. But the thing is, it's also literally a meme that's been going around. In fact, I posted this yesterday. Right, but if you scroll down a little bit, just, we'll keep the supply chain broken until you get the jabs, says Klaus Schwab of the Economic Forum. And it's like, well, how's that wrong? It seems to be what's happening. And the weird thing is, if we can go to the next one, there are people who are posting like videos they take themselves. This is on the 14th of October. If you can just play the video without the audio so we can see what's going on. But you can just see that this guy is just driving past one of these container shipping ports and it's just empty.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing going on there. So it's not that there's a backlog that can't be processed because of a lack of space or something like that. And there was another one that was posted today about a chap who is a truck driver. And he's like, well, we've got all the trucks. They're just turning away our empty trucks and not letting us actually load anything up. So there are truck drivers, there are trucks, it's just nothing's coming off the ports for some reason. And so the question is this part of a green initiative in California? Because I found this from back in June this year, where apparently there's a quest to green an empire of mega warehouses in California. So this is basically ideological, because 40% of the nation's consumer goods come through California, because it's the closest place to China where they're being produced.
Yep.
And the goal is to make the World Logistics Center the most sustainable logistics center in the world, says Ido Benzivi, the president and chief executive of the Highland Fairview Properties. This comes as a constellation of new regulations and investments conspire to clean up the industry. The South Coast Air Quality Management District, a regional pollution regulation agency, approved its long-awaited indirect source rule on May the 7th, making warehouses responsible for the pollution generated by the trucks that visit their docks. And California Governor Gavin Newsom had proposed a $1.5 billion investment in clean transport and things like that, and says Heather Arias, the Division Chief of Transportation and Toxics for the Division of the California Air Resource Board, says, we're working toward a zero emissions freight system. So I wonder if it's anything to do with all of this. But anyway, so after her little press conference, Jen Psaki, looking a bit rattled, just decided to walk off without putting a mask on, which actually violates the Biden-imposed mask mandate on the White House.
Well, I'm sure the police will be visiting her home.
It's not going to be a case of rules for thee, but not for me. But it is going to be a case of rules for children, because for some reason in America, some states are forcing children to wear masks in schools, even though the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, while they issue this new recommendation, it just seems that their own data would contradict the need for forcing children to wear masks. A number of US states have required their students to wear masks following that recommendation. But the thing is, the fatality rate for children under the age of 16 has been less than 0.003%.
Yeah. I mean, this is like the JCVI. So the government's medical advisors in the UK recommended that children aren't given the vaccine.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about the vaccine too much and get this taken down from YouTube. But the government overruled its own medical advisors and said, you know, no, we're gonna vaccinate everybody.
Yeah. And so Biden puts in rules, you have to wear masks in the White House. Nope. But children have to wear masks even though there's no particular need for them to do so. In fact, this isn't just me saying this. I mean, there are studies. Is this scientific? No, not really. Studies findings have cast doubt on the impact of the most many common mitigation measures in American schools. In other words, these measures could not be said to be effective. Do it anyway. Anyway, moving on. What's going on in Chicago? You know, the safest place on earth. Oh, that's right. The Chicago police are being put on unpaid leave for not being vaccinated. Apparently, they're placing officers on no-pay leave for unreported vaccination status. Now, how many people do you think that is? Do you think it's going to be like 10, 15 people?
I thought it'd be loads.
It's not like Chicago needs its police or anything, right? Like, there's nothing bad has ever happened in Chicago. Well, according to a CNN anchor, it's 35% of their force.
Jeez.
If we can get to the next one, John. They've got 12,770 total officers, and 35% did not give their vaccination status, which means 4,500 could be placed on no-pay status. I'm sure they'll work without pay, though.
But surely, I mean, that's unworkable. They're not gonna lay off like 35% of their police force.
Yeah, you would think that. In a sane country, they wouldn't do that. But America has been taken over by absolute effing lunatics, and they seem to be going full bore down into the abyss. I mean, this is good news for Chicago either way, because, I mean, like, last weekend, 24 people were shot. 24 people in one weekend. And the thing is, that's actually quite a low weekend. I've seen literally Chicago weekends where it's twice that. Only 4 people killed, so, you know, they don't need all those cops. But when Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot was asked about this, she said that the city's Fraternal Order of Policing is attempting to induce an insurrection by opposing the vaccine mandate. Induce an insurrection.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. After the year that the police have had and everything they've had to deal with, all the sort of opprobrium from the public and from the media, and to then, you know, hit them with this, it's, yeah.
You're not getting paid because you aren't doing what we tell you. Yeah. And so what they've done is decided to just threaten to withhold their retirement benefits. So if you don't submit to the vaccine mandate, you aren't getting your retirement either.
But all police get shot a day before they retire anyway. I've seen films.
That's lucky for them, really. Otherwise, they'd need that. There has been a vaccine mandate for the firefighters as well. And of course, there have been firefighters who have been posting saying, well, look, I'm not having this. I'm not being subjected to a vaccine mandate. I'm resigning. And so Seattle police, that was in Chicago previously, but this is also happening in elsewhere.
Yeah.
In Seattle, fire and police are just handing in their boots about the non-compliance with the vaccine mandate.
Yeah.
So why? Why are you doing this? Why are you literally turning on the institutions that make your country run?
Yeah. And also, like, firefighters, police, they're going to generally be fit and healthy and quite young. So coronavirus isn't a huge risk for them. And if they're interacting with the public or whatever, I'm sure they'll wear, you know, they'll comply with whatever distancing and face masks and all the rest of it. So, I mean, the risk to the public is pretty low. I think the risk to the public is far higher if you're getting rid of, like, 35% of your police and fire brigade. I'd rather be rescued from a fire by somebody who's got coronavirus than burn in the fire.
Yes, I would as well. Like, absolutely no questions asked. But anyway, so yeah, these people then went out and fed the homeless because they're not scum. unlike the people who are in charge of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then we get onto the
tasty as well.
It does, actually, and I haven't had lunch. So anyway, so the Biden regime decided to try and impose a vaccine mandate on pilots as well, which absolutely destroyed Southwest Airlines' ability to fly planes. And The Guardian was complaining that Tucker Carlson has claimed the cancellation of flights by Southwest Airlines was a direct consequence of the Biden administration's vaccine mandate for federal workers. Carlson also said that a Florida group of air traffic controllers, who are subject to federal rules, apparently walked out on Friday to protest against the rules, contributing to difficulties facing the passengers. Disruption to Southwest flights began shortly after the Airline Pilots Association asked the federal court to block the airline's own vaccine mandate, a kind of measure praised but not ordered by Biden. So, right, okay. And so that was obviously like, oh, nothing Tucker Carlson says is true. And you get like CNBC and then have to report. Well, I mean, it is, you know, weather and staffing. Weather and staffing. The weather in Texas.
Was it, it wasn't raining jabs?
Maybe it was. But the staffing issue, I think, is one thing that they have to dance around, because they're like, yeah. Well, I mean, bad weather, air traffic control issues, and its own shortage of available staff. Well, where are those available staff? Yeah. I've no idea. But like a left-wing source came out and said, Gizmodo particularly, they go, despite pilots, like leftist media is claiming otherwise. They're saying, you know, how the Southwest flight's cancellations turned into a bogus vaccine conspiracy theory. Oh, really? A bogus vaccine conspiracy theory. Conservatives spread baseless theories about spontaneous uprisings of anti-vax pilots, was behind mass flight cancellations of Southwest Airlines. It's like, yeah, because we can see them doing it because they post it to social media.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go to like a right-wing source like LifeSite News, and they have got all of these links, and they'll just tell you about what's actually happening here.
Yeah.
I mean, but you can go to Twitter. If you just go to the next one, you can actually see them interviewing pilots, asking them, why are you, a captain of a plane, protesting? They're like, well, I don't like the vaccine mandates.
And you can see people there protesting, saying, stop the vaccine mandate.
Yeah.
By the way, I've got to say, so last night I went to a live event that enforced the vaccine passport. So I've got one because I need to travel like overseas and stuff. So I showed him and it was fine. And then my mate didn't have one. So they were like, well, you're not getting in. And then I was like, no, you've got it, Darius. And I just sent him the screenshot of my one. And they looked at it. And literally with, you know, WhatsApp JPEG written at the top of it. And like, they looked at it and just let him in. So I think a lot of these things you can, maybe if you're a pilot, they check a bit closer.
But there are ways around such things, apparently, which we obviously don't endorse. Anyway, so Delta Airlines eventually just abandoned their vaccine mandate because it was divisive, not because, obviously, pilots weren't flying.
So I mean, it doesn't this completely discount the, you know, the Gizmodo headline that said, oh, this is all a conspiracy theory, and then well, they've abandoned their vaccine mandate.
I mean, they literally said, we're proving you can work collaboratively with your people, trusting your people to make the right decisions, respecting their decisions, and not forcing them over the loss of their jobs. But it's nothing to do with the protest, according to left-wing media. but the question is, why would the media lie about all of this and the vaccine mandates? Well, this particular little clip show does raise an interesting point. Let's play this.
Is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference, brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front, brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This Weather Report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal
I think
that's
made the point, because I think that obviously just goes on and goes on and goes on. Yeah. But as you can see, the corporate media's all been bought up by Pfizer. Yeah. So, you know, using government money that they have been had poured into their pockets.
Yeah.
So there we go. And I mean, apparently, according to the FDA in America, you can just mix and match the vaccines now. If we can get the next one up, John. Oh, sorry. Okay, we'll have to fix it. Right, there we go. Apparently, the FDA is like, oh, just mix and match the vaccines, because that's how it works.
Is that how it works?
I don't know much
about vaccines, but I wouldn't have thought. That's like what he did for Heath Ledger. You know what I mean? You can't mix different drugs together.
Yeah,
I know these aren't drugs, but you know what I mean.
But they operate in different ways, and I'm not an expert, but I don't think that's how it works. Although, I mean, what do I know?
Apparently, if you have the best level of immunity is if you have two vaccinations, and then you catch coronavirus.
Oh, wow.
But that, I mean...
Well, I just skipped to the end result and caught it in the first place.
Yeah. Like, I mean, to actually have, you know, like the whole point of vaccinating someone is they don't get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so then the government's saying, oh, you're going to have the top immunity if you get vaccinated and then get the disease that you've been vaccinated against.
Yeah. I mean, I just had it, so...
I had it as well.
Yeah.
To be honest, I wish I'd got vaccinated. It was horrible.
It wasn't too bad for me. But anyway, moving on, because we've still got loads to get through, and I want to get through this segment quickly.
Yep.
So apparently the National Recreation and Parks Association has decided that you shouldn't call each other Americans now if you're in America.
Oh, God.
Call them residents or members of a community.
What?
Well, it's because American has quite a lot attached to it, right? Yeah. It's got a set of assumptions. What is an American? American is someone with a particular kind of accent, lives in a particular kind of place, has a particular set of values. And you don't know that these people are going to have those, so just call them residents.
People who exist. It's so dehumanizing.
Taking everything that makes a person,
everything that somebody can be proud of and stand up for and believe in, and just removing it to this horrible computer code.
And in fact, on that note, what would be more valuable to the concept of being an American than, say, the Founding Fathers?
Yeah.
Not much. So that's why we have to take away the statue of Thomas Jefferson from the New York City City Hall.
The founding people who don't have cervixes.
Yes. We do not need those around anymore. And because we have a quote from the commission, council member Inez Barron says, "We're not waging war on history. We're saying we want to make sure the total story is told. So get rid of this statue." Because that's somehow not a war on history.
That's a war on history. Like, I mean, fair enough, add, you know, or have a plaque saying, oh, yeah, so there's other stuff going on as well, and there's these guys, and there's some issues with Thomas Jefferson. He owned slaves because it was the old days, and everybody was bad back then. You know, it wasn't, you know, nobody, there weren't gender studies degrees you could do in the 1700s or whatever. You know, so, like, obviously people in the old days, we can't judge them by modern standards.
Nope.
So, fine, add to the history being taught, but don't tear it down. Don't destroy it and hide it.
No, that's what they're doing. They're hiding it. They're removing it. Anyway, so, I mean, you know, this is what I would consider to be an attack on American cultural identity.
Mm.
Why not? Can't call each other Americans. We can take down your statues of the Founding Fathers. And don't forget that it's pronoun day, though, according to the Department of State.
What are your pronouns, Carl?
He, him, actually.
Mine are she and they.
Based.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to remember that, though.
Ban Dave Chappelle.
We'll get to it. But yeah, so this is what they're wasting their time with after trying to deconstruct the American identity. And anyway, moving on, Rachel Levine, do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, a very sane person who's been promoted to a 4-star admiral. Never served in the military.
An Admiral S.
An Admiral S, yes. Yeah. Well, I mean...
A beautiful lady.
I'm not sure the language we're supposed to use, to be honest.
Yeah.
But this was Biden's health.
She was health before.
Health secretary. Yeah. Assistant secretary for health has been sworn as a 4-star admiral. Because why not? Because they're laughing in your face while they do all of this, right? But listen to her
statement. It's kind of weird. Like, women are better at being secretaries, I'd have thought.
Disavow. But listen to this, right? I'm truly honored to join the ranks of men and women across this great nation who have committed to defend the United States against small and large threats, known and unknown. My father often spoke about his service in the Air Force during World War II, a young man from a small town in Massachusetts stepping up to answer the call to serving Africa and Italy as a Jewish American, just as he stepped up to defend our rights and freedoms. I now follow in the storied tradition of service as I step up to defend the health of our nation, especially now as we face the biggest public health crisis across our country and the world has faced in modern times. I stand on the shoulders of these LGBTQ+ individuals who came before me, both those known and unknown. May this appointment today become the first of many more to come as we create a diverse and more inclusive future. Diversity makes us stronger.
Yeah, I mean, like, inclusivity, diversity... There's definitely advantages to it, but I think it only works if everybody's included. You know what I mean? Like, at the moment, the media narrative, the mainstream narrative, the societal narrative is that being cisgender, being white, being male, being Christian, all the rest of it is bad.
Yeah,
and I think that's bollocks.
Well, that's because a lot of Americans used to be cisgender white Christian men. But anyway, moving on, you may remember that Rachel Levine is the person who forced nursing homes to accept COVID patients, probably killing around 20,000 elderly people in Pennsylvania. She was in charge.
So the nursing homes had a diverse mix of healthy people and people with coronavirus.
Yes.
And then the people with coronavirus, I mean, I don't know if that's an example of diversity being good.
The American Healthcare Association said, well, look, this is going to kill people. And she was like, yeah, but not my 95-year-old mother, who she moved out of a long-term care facility and into a hotel.
No way.
Not even joking.
No
way. It's exactly what she did. So, I mean, you could call her a murderer and it wouldn't be an inaccurate charge. But anyway, meanwhile...
It's worse almost.
It's awful.
Like...
pure evil.
Like, to move... at least, you know, when mad cow disease was around, you know, I remember the Tory politician in charge of it fed his kids beef burgers to show that it's safe. He didn't eat it himself, you know, because I guess he was thinking, I can have other kids if these ones... But, to do this, that's disgusting.
So anyway, we've still got more, and I want to get through it, but we've still got to keep an eye on time. Right, so while this is happening, well, one of the Navy's warships burned down. New Admiral, ship burns down. Apparently, this was an entirely preventable catastrophe, avoidable catastrophe, right? But one particular sailor said that this was, he was charged with it. But basically, the commanders, the reporters, suggesting that the vessel could have been salvaged if not for the commanders and crew's lack of basic training and skills.
Right.
Interesting how the training and skills of the military are going down under the Biden administration.
Because they're being distracted, being sent on like diversity training.
Even better, right? And go to the next one, John. Even better, the female soldiers can now wear lipstick, nail polish, and locks.
Man, like fine.
No, fine. Not fine. Not fine at all.
That's kind of hot.
Like, I think that's exactly the problem.
Like, if hot soldiers come over the hill at you, you're going to be, like, the Russians or whatever are going to be less likely to shoot a hot soldier.
Well, the army has approved healthier style options that are more inclusive of various natural styles in an effort to stop hair damage and loss stemming from hairstyles in a bun. Oh, my goodness. Why don't they get the head shaved like the men? Right? But anyway, so, you know, it doesn't matter. While this is all happening, the US generals are getting their nails done. That's, I mean, you open up that image on the right, John. That's a US general who's just been getting her nails done. And at the same time, China's testing hypersonic missiles.
Yeah.
US intelligence and military officials stunned. Or maybe if they get out of the salons for 5 minutes, maybe they'd be able to figure this out. But literally, if you can go to the next one, a source told Insider Paper.
Do you think there's a link between the number of Asians working in nail salons?
And the decline of the US military?
Yeah.
I can't confirm.
They sowed the seeds of nice nails.
Maybe, but I love this. You know, one of the five people familiar with the test said, "We have no idea how they did this." Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad.
Even if you think that, don't say it out loud. Yeah. Try and look like we know about this and we know how to deal with it. You know what I mean?
No, they know how to get their hair done and do their makeup when they're on campaign. They don't know how the Chinese are testing hypersonic missiles, but that can carry nuclear warheads, incidentally. But anyway, what was Jen Psaki's response to this? Jen Psaki's response was, "We welcome the competition." China's testing nuclear-capable hypersonic missiles, and Jen Psaki's like, "Yes, we welcome the competition." Mm. No, we don't. Jen, that's bad. But anyway, so it's no surprise that Biden's approval rating is through the floor. It's very, very low. It's 42.9% approval on Real Clear Politics average as time of recording, which means that Donald Trump is at the moment more popular than Joe Biden. And not surprising, because if you go back a year, what was it like under Donald Trump? They were paying you to take away fuel. And it was the roaring economy, lowest unemployment in 50 years or something. Everything was going brilliantly, and Joe Biden has literally screwed this country up on purpose, right?
Yeah. So, unless you're a shareholder in one of the companies.
Unless you own Pfizer stock, But and anyway, so 48% of respondents said they had a positive view of Trump, compared to 46% who had a favorable view of Biden. And 51% believed that Trump was a better president than Biden, which is obviously true. And that's with a 90% negative media campaign against Trump as well, and an almost 100% positive media campaign for Biden.
And it's interesting, people see through it, because I was talking to somebody who
They can't afford anything.
Somebody who lived in Russia. And so the media they get there is obviously very state heavy, very, very sort of state propaganda driven. But people know that, so they filter it out. And I think the same has happened in the West. When people read the papers here, when people read The Guardian, they're filtering it. They know it's biased propagandist bullshit.
I absolutely hope so. But interestingly, the people who are happy with Joe Biden are everyone outside of the United States. Around the world, watching America crumble is very, very positive for those countries that hate America.
And that's bizarre, because it's not as if America's had any overseas victories. Like, Afghanistan was a disaster.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't even find the time to shove that in here either, obviously. This is the thing. Apparently, Biden's median approval rating across 46 different countries is 49%, whereas Trump's was 30%. Why? Because Trump was acting in American interest and making America strong and great again, meaning they were all salty about it. And Biden's making America weak and failing, and so they're all thrilled about it.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I'm not sure how much I believe that. I think more people like Trump than let on.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. But the people polled,
yeah,
you know, don't say that. But
the people willing to speak to a polling agency, mm, which is the only people who ever get polled.
Yeah. But anyway, I know that dragged on a little bit because there was so much there. Let's carry on.
Okay, so my segment is about COP26, which is a climate change summit being held in Glasgow, of all places. So 25,000 delegates are going to fly into Glasgow and try and convince everyone to burn less fossil fuels. I mean, unless you're doing something really vital and important, like flying to Glasgow for a taxpayer-sponsored party. So yeah, the SNP are obviously already screwing it. It hasn't even started. It starts at the 31st of October. It hasn't even started, and the SNP are already screwing up. So the next slide or thing. So basically, the SNP hired a fleet of it's not Teslas. It was reported as Teslas, and then like this is an interesting thing. Like the fact change people said, oh no, this is a lie, they're not hiring Teslas. It's like, well, they're hiring Jaguars.
Oh.
Electric Jaguars. Oh. Which isn't like, you know, it doesn't mean that it's, you know, they're not lavishing huge amounts of, you know, taxpayer largesse on these people. Jaguars are more expensive than Teslas. But anyway, they've hired a fleet of Jaguars, electric Jaguars, to ferry the delegates around. But there's not enough charging points. So they're having to hire diesel generators. Carry them around on flatbed trucks to power the electric cars, which just blows my mind. I mean, there's no way that that's more efficient than just hiring diesel cars.
No.
You know, I mean, hiring a diesel engine to create electricity to put into an electric car is definitely less environmentally friendly than just driving a diesel car. It's
amazing.
Insanity. I mean, you couldn't make this up. Just the farcical state of the SNP. I mean, it's lucky no part of the climate conference involves some sort of alcohol imbibement in a place that creates alcohol.
It does sound like a skit out of The Office or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no, it's so cartoonishly stupid.
It is insane. And apparently electric cars, electric cars aren't that great. I mean, as well as, obviously, there's a lot of the toxic metals and stuff that are involved mm-hmm. in the batteries. So Munich is banning electric vehicles because they keep burning.
Good news.
That looks like a terrorist attack.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, it's just an electric bus that's blown up.
I saw a video of this happening the other day where it was like a CCTV camera of just a bay with a bunch of vehicles that were charging. One of them catches fire, and then they all catch fire, and they all burn down.
Right, right. Geez. Mad. So yeah, yeah. It just goes on like one to the next.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, Christ.
Yeah, you like know, is it Grand Theft Auto where that happens?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the next tab. So as well as flying everybody in and giving them all electric Jaguars, they've eased COVID travel restrictions for that. Because apparently COVID doesn't transmit. It's not a problem when you're trying to save the environment. Like it wasn't a problem when you're protesting against Black Lives Matter.
Oh, you don't need your vaccine passports.
Yeah, apparently, why do we even bother developing a vaccine?
That's when a great question.
We could have just, you know, joined Greenpeace and bought White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. You know what I mean? Like, if COVID is a thing, it's a thing for these people as well as for us. It's a thing for climate change conferences and Black Lives Matter rallies as well as nightclubs and comedy clubs and football stadiums.
Because they do have those vaccine passports for those in Scotland, don't they?
Yeah, so vaccine passports are now mandatory in Scotland, although very easy to fake.
We don't encourage faking vaccine passports.
I 100% encourage faking vaccine passports so you can just get a screenshot.
We might get in trouble for that, so we're not going to encourage that.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I just think this is disgusting hypocrisy, and also, you know, if you're going to, man, they keep banging on about how, you know, COVID is such, you know, so dangerous and it's, you know, contributing to everything like the supply chain and, you know, all kinds of issues, and then they're like, oh no, but our thing, we don't need it. It's not for us. It's just for you guys. So the next tab. I mean, the whole, all green policy, all climate change stuff is just elitist people's, and the man, the data, the science is so nebulous, and the data has been manipulated so much, and it's so many things crunched together. I mean, I used to work as a criminal intelligence analyst, and when we were evaluating police operations, man, we never had an unsuccessful one, because you can manipulate the data to show anything you want. You just cherry pick, you know, whatever times and patterns and, you know, whatever you're reviewing, you can always show success. Mm. So you can make data show whatever you want. I feel that the same thing's happening with climate change, and that, you know, it's elitists sort of giving themselves, high paying roles. There's so much money. It's a real industry. And it's all paid for by taxpayers. So, I mean, for example, the delegates to COP26 are going to get free smart cards for travel on public transport in Glasgow. And, you know, not only is it free, it's not free for Glaswegians. It's going to be free for them. Glaswegians don't even get... there's no smart card system like you can in London. There's no really? Smart card system in Glasgow. Why? If there's a smart card system available, why don't we all get to use it? You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Wow, really does just highlight the two-tier society.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it couldn't be more.
You've got
more
these free
obvious.
Smart cards, and Glaswegians like, what? What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're like, oh, no, not for you. Not for you, you plebs.
Yeah.
This is just for Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, and so the next tab, I've got an artist's impression of the... of what it would look like when Leonardo, if you just scroll down, this is Leonardo DiCaprio getting on the tube at Cessnock. So the climate change conference, they're not going to look at any of the positives.
Mm-hmm.
Climate change debate is always incredibly one-sided. It just looks at the negatives. So this is actually from a website, you know, climate.gov. So this is an official website of the United States government. And so it's generally, anti-climate change. You know?
Yes.
But even they have to concede that there are some positive benefits from climate change. So
California will be underwater.
It's going to...
Bristol will be underwater. Yeah. Unfortunately, Brighton survives, but...
We're not ready for that one yet. it's going to be warmer. I mean, that seems obvious. Yep. But it's going to be warmer. And to be honest, I like being warm. It's freezing out there right now.
It is, yeah.
It's too cold. So fewer people will die from cold snaps.
Right.
You know, maybe a few more will die in heat waves.
So it'll benefit the homeless.
So it'll benefit the homeless, which is actually very important for Scotland, because one of the SNP's key failings is the rise in drug abuse and homelessness and general poverty and, just the poverty of ambition as well in Scotland now is terrible. So yeah, fewer junkies are gonna die. Tundra is going to be usable as farmland as it thaws out. So that's going to be hugely useful. The Northwest Passage is going to open for faster shipping across the North Pole. CO2, nobody ever talks about this. It's plant fertilizer. And it's already having an effect. Plants are growing faster and stronger, and they're also more drought resistant as well.
Right.
And historically, if we move on to the next graph, we're actually... in a dangerously low era for carbon dioxide. So this graph shows it's across like geological scales. We're talking hundreds of millions of years from the Precambrian all the way through to the modern era. And you can see the CO2 levels. So that's the purple chart. So it was up around 10,000 parts per million. And you know, it's dropped overall. The trend has come right down to very, very sort of small, and it's just started lifting up in the last, you know, since the start of the Industrial Revolution. And if you look at the blue graph, that's the temperature. So again, you know, the global temperatures have fluctuated across the eras, and temperatures are very low.
If we're going to revive dinosaurs, we're going to have to get the atmosphere back to about the Cretaceous era, right?
Absolutely. And people talk about carbon capture. You know, when you look at the White Cliffs of Dover, or if you look at the chalky soil in Buckinghamshire, chalk anywhere, like, that is all from, the sand on the beach, so much of that from seashells. That is all from animals that have sort of created shells, which is calcium carbonate. So carbonate is like, I think it's 2 or 3 carbon dioxide molecules. So basically, they're capturing the carbon, and that's all carbon. That's a huge carbon store. So I mean, historically, we've got incredibly low levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere right now. I mean, they're starting to tick up now, but some scientists believe that we're actually sort of restoring some balance to the carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere.
I have no idea about any of it.
Yeah, so, well, and also global warming. It doesn't affect the equator. It doesn't affect it just affects the poles, really. There's some issues like rising sea levels. But I'm from Scotland, it's made out of mountains.
I suspect we can't actually put this segment on YouTube now.
Why?
Because YouTube doesn't want you to be... Although their thing was you're not allowed to deny climate change, but they didn't say anything about being pro-climate change.
Yeah, I mean, so... there's going to be negative impacts and positive impacts. Yeah. But climate change is happening. But it's always happened throughout the... I mean, as that graph shows, there's always been climate change.
It strikes me as a deeply conservative position to be like, we don't want the climate to change.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's always changed. It's not been progressive, is it?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, it's ridiculous to say that we can stop the climate from changing. Of course we can't.
Yeah,
It's an absurd statement.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, some people think we should just surf the benefits. So yeah, and there's strikes. So because, you know, the eyes of the world are going to be in Scotland, everyone is striking. So train drivers... which means, you know, they're not going to be able to use low-carbon public transport to get around. Council staff, so bin men, school janitors, cleaners and cooks, they're all on strike, doing even less work than usual for public sector workers. And lawyers are also striking. They've gone on strike.
Which, you know, there's a benefit to everything.
Yeah. But who's going to represent all the crusties who get arrested at the protest?
Oh, no, the left-wing human rights lawyers aren't going to screw the country up for 5 minutes. Terrible.
Yeah, the next tab. So even Greta Thunberg thinks Scotland is not a world leader on climate change.
Well, if Greta Thunberg said it, then it's gospel now.
So she'll be, you know, riding her horse or yacht or whatever to the conference, no doubt. The Queen has also criticised the climate conference, saying, you know, these things never make any substantial change, which I agree with her on that. It's really just an excuse for a bunch of world leaders to have a jolly, have some free lunches and get drunk at taxpayers' expense.
Yep.
The next tab, so we can see some of the failures of the SNP. So all of Scotland's steel is shipped abroad for recycling. You know, Scotland's like, the SNP is like, oh, we do so much recycling. It's you ship it to other countries. And obviously the standards and the sort of oversight in other countries isn't anywhere near as strong as it is in, a Western country.
Which is presumably why they do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of this, when recycling is shipped abroad, a lot of it gets burnt. A lot of it isn't recycled. It can be hugely environmentally damaging. And not just for that country, but also, you know, when they're burning plastic or whatever, it's going into the air. And putting all the greenhouse gases and incredibly toxic gases back into there. The next tab shows that while we're talking about plastic, so 3 tons a minute from Scotland of plastic waste, that's 1.7 million tons of rubbish a year is exported to other countries to be dealt with. And it's not being exported to, like, you know, Sweden or somewhere like that. It's being exported to the third world, where you've got unscrupulous companies trying to make a quick buck, and, you know, you might as well get Tony Soprano to deal with it. It's all like going in the canal or getting burnt, or you know, it's not being dealt with properly. And this is a real scandal of green policy, I think, because you know, after everybody making so much effort to separate out their plastics and put it in the right bucket and all the rest of it,
and none of it matters,
giving themselves a pat on the back, it just goes to Gambia and gets burnt in the middle of the jungle or whatever. So more failures. So the SNP said they were going to set up a state-run energy company, which was going to sell on gas and electricity to the consumer at cost prices.
And
that hasn't happened. But they've spent £500,000 on consultants to fanny around and not actually do anything. The next one, another SNP target that's been missed if you scroll down. So they're supposed to be 10%. Of journeys by bike in Scotland, and they missed it. Not missed it by a bit. They've missed it by a lot. So only 4% of journeys in Scotland are being taken by bike, which I understand. Scotland, I mean, it's very hilly and it rains all the time.
Yeah, you don't want to go cycling there.
It's not Holland. You know, you go to Holland and it's like, the cycling there is lovely because you never have to break a sweat. But another Another SNP failing. This is, man, this is just basically, we need about 3 hours to go through all the SNP's failures. So Scottish wildlife is at risk. So they've cut £100 million from environmental bodies. So that's down 40% in a decade, right when the SNP are, you know, rattling the drum and saying, oh, we're being so green, we're being so positive, let's have the climate conference here. And Scotland has a lot of rare flora and fauna. The next tab, we've got one in nine Scots species is at risk of extinction. So that's a ptarmigan there, lives in the grouse moors. And this is interesting because I know a lot of environmentalists who aren't familiar with how the countryside actually works think that grouse shooting should be stopped because it's cruel. It's rich people going out in the moors and shooting these rare precious birds. And the truth of the matter is that grouse moors are. I used to work in the grouse moors up in Scotland. My dad's a gunsmith. And what they do is they maintain the grouse moors very carefully, so it provides this incredible habitat for things like ptarmigan, but also raptors, orchids, all kinds of flora and fauna. So it creates this amazing rare environment, which like what people don't understand is like the countryside is a business. Somebody owns the land, so if it's not used for grouse shooting, it'll be used for the next most lucrative use, which could be upland sheep farming. But a lot of times, the next most lucrative use is blanket coniferous forestry, which is horrible. A complete monoculture. It's ugly. They're not native species, and like I said, it's complete monoculture. It doesn't support any flora and fauna apart from the trees being grown, and it also acidifies the soil and acidifies water courses downstream. So it's a real ecological, does a lot of ecological damage. But environmentalists would quite often rather have that than have grouse moors because, oh, it's cruel because the grouse are getting shot. Even though the grouse are then getting eaten. So the grouse live an amazing life, a natural life. Yeah. You can't raise, pheasants are raised and then put down on the land. Grouse have to live wild. So so they just make the environment nice for them. Mm. And the grouse are delicious as well. And it all gets eaten. Breeding seabird numbers in Scotland have almost halved since the 1980s. Just to be honest, I don't care about, man. Like seagulls are absolute shits. Actually, there's some nice seabirds though, like these Arctic skuas. So they've dropped 81%. And the SNP should be doing something about this. If they're teamed up, they've been propped up in Scottish government by the Green Party, and they have been for some years now. So they should be doing something. But for some reason, the Green Party is just obsessed with, like, trans issues instead of anything that's actually green. So, and if anything, transgender people are bad for the environment because they're extra plastic. So if we go down, Scotland has also missed another SNP failing. It's missed 11 targets in preventing species extinction. Even though they lied and they said they were on track. So this is 11 out of 20. So this is more than half of their targets on species extinction. Yeah. So you can see there's the red squirrel, there's some kind of fish, there's what looks like a narwhal. I've never seen any of these things. Actually, I've seen red squirrel in Scotland, but I haven't seen a narwhal. It's ridiculous. The SNP have failed to hit their greenhouse gas targets for the third straight year. They've had plans to have carbon sequestration units on the power stations in Peterhead and stuff. And it's amazing they can't do this, given that the North Sea oil has basically just died.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, oh man, like last year I think it was less than $500 million dollars in revenue.
Oh, really?
It's crazy, considering that, you know, it was up around 15 billion not long ago. The whole the government and the whole Western world, well, particularly the UK, has been moving from a sort of fossil fuel, a carbon-based power economy, to renewables. So they're putting all these windmills up. So, you know, windmills being a 14th century technology used in Holland to grind grain is coming back. As
a lot of shout-outs to Holland today. I don't know why. Yeah. Seems to be doing something right.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, windmills, you know, they're fine. I mean, there's some issues with windmills. They actually draw power from the national grid when because they got to balance and stabilize rest of it. When they're churning, they do generate power, but then there's a lot of they break very easily because of the buffeting by wind. It's not like a turbine in a power station that's in, you know, very pristine and, you know, being fed directionally and stuff. When the wind doesn't blow, as we saw a few weeks ago,
we don't
generate any power.
Yeah.
So yeah, and also the SNP said there's going to be 28,000 jobs created in the offshore wind farm. You know, because Scotland's got, I think it's 25% of Europe's, or the UK's got 25% of Europe's like wind farm available land. We've got, you know, sea shelves with shallow water. Mm-hmm. And I mean, these wind farms, they do some environmental damage. They're bad for migrating birds. They're bad for shipping. They said, oh, we're going to create 28,000 jobs. Only 6%. Like a tiny fraction of the jobs they promised were actually created. And you know why? Because they're not making anything in the UK. It's all getting offshored like they do with the recycling. You know, they send it to Africa to get burnt. And same thing here. They're getting all the wind farms being made in France or the Netherlands, in Holland. And
what's Holland doing right that we're not doing?
Well, they've got that windmill history. But yeah, so I mean, the SNP just an absolute shambles of a government, and you know, you'd think at least, you know, if you're bringing it, if you're spending so much taxpayers' money, well, UK taxpayers' money, not Scottish.
Well, taxpayers' money.
But if you're spending all these taxpayers' money, you know, building wind farms and stuff, so they promised a windfall in jobs, and it didn't arrive.
None of it materialized.
It's disgusting. So that's. I've rattled through that, I just think the whole concept of having a climate change conference in Glasgow is ridiculous as a concept. Like, Scotland is the one country that's really crying out for some climate change. The climate there is horrible. So it's ridiculous.
Right, well, we're running over, but let's power on. Right, so let's talk about the ridiculous Netflix walkout over Dave Chappelle's The Closer special, in which he declared himself to be Team Turf while defending J.K. Rowling. We won't reiterate this, so let's go on to the next one. This was well-received among comedians. One black comedian said he freed the slaves with this Netflix special. The comedians being the slaves to PC culture. Literally says, we're slaves to PC culture.
Yeah.
Must ring a bell. You went to see him last night, in fact, didn't you?
Last night, yeah. Look, there's me. Free tickets, because I'm also problematic and I got cancelled for transphobia. So there's me and Darius Davies going to see Dave Chappelle.
Was it a good show?
Yeah, it was a good show.
Good. Right, and so basically the Netflix CEO was like, right, I've got the world's most successful stand-up comedian, or I have a bunch of angry transgender activists who work at my company. Who am I going to side with? And obviously he was like, well, the money's with Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And so he sent around a memo to Netflix on Monday saying, well, look, you know, stop whining, basically. We know that a number of you have been angry, disappointed, and hurt by a decision to put Dave Chappelle's latest special on Netflix. With The Closer, we understand that the concern is not about offensive to some content, but titles that would increase real-world harm. Last year, we heard similar concerns about 365 Days and violence against women. While some employees disagree, we have a strong belief that content on screen doesn't directly translate to real-world harm. That's only because that's supported by science.
And also, what about cuties?
Like we were saying before the podcast, the Netflix staff probably supported that.
Yeah,
but anyway,
they masturbated over it.
I cannot confirm nor deny, but
100% categorically state that all the blue-haired freaks masturbated over cuties.
I know where I'd put my bet if I was making one. He says we object to is the harm that the content. A Netflix employee called Tara Field posted on Twitter, what we object to is the harm that content does like this does to the trans community, especially trans people of color, and very specifically black trans women.
So why is it specific to black trans people?
I have no idea. Well, actually, I do know. It's because the majority of murders of trans people is in the black community. Care to hazard a guess why?
Is it because of unprogressive values?
Yeah, and surprises. So if you go to a nightclub, you pick up a very beautiful woman, and it's not.
Well, you're home now, so...
They carry on saying, make no mistake, Chappelle's alleged jokes do not impact hypothetical people. They, in fact, cause real harm to transgender and non-binary viewers and black LGBTQ youth who may once have looked up to him as a role model, says queer author and attorney Preston Mitchum. Prove it, is but, my...
And also, if you watch the show, he's not advocating any harm against trans people. He talks with great empathy and love for a transgender friend of his who actually committed suicide after being hounded by trans rights activists. So really? not being hounded by terrorists, but being hounded by trans rights activists because she was friends with Dave Chappelle.
Well, there we go. And so they point out that, well, you know, a study has shown that on-screen violence doesn't correlate with violence in the real world, but the trans campaign is like, yeah, but there are the highest rate of trans murders since these killings were being tracked in 2013, and so this is Netflix's fault. Spoiler alert, there's no proof that it's Netflix's fault. And Sarandos went on to say that Netflix is working hard to ensure marginalized communities aren't defined by a single story, and that they're increasing diversity on the content team itself with titles such as Sex Education, Orange is the New Black, Control Z, and the stand-up of Hannah Gadsby as companions to Chappelle's special on the service. And,
I think the next slide is...
If we can get to the next one, it is Hannah Gadsby screaming and moaning like a child over this.
Back you and your immoral algorithm.
That's exactly it, yeah. Just a quick note to let you know, I'd prefer if you didn't drag my name into your mess. It's like, why? This is good news for you. You're going to go viral over this.
And the thing I loved about this was she complained. She's all like, you didn't pay me enough.
Yeah, that was like, exactly right.
Yeah, you didn't get paid that much because you're not as popular as Dave Chappelle. You know what I mean?
Now I have to deal with even more of the hate and anger that Dave Chappelle's fans like to unleash on me every time Dave gets $20 million to process his emotionally stunted partial worldview. You didn't pay me nearly enough with the real world consequences of the hate speech dog whistling you refuse to acknowledge, Ted. F you and your amoral algorithm cult. I do S's with more backbone than you. That's just a joke. I definitely didn't cross a line because you told the world there isn't one.
It's not that good a joke. Not that good a joke, but honestly, like Hannah Gadsby, I watched Nanette, like her breakthrough special that was supposed to be so amazing, and it was like I forced myself to watch it to the end. There was quite a gripping, interesting bit when she's talking about the abuse she received. But the first half that's supposed to be the superlative stand-up, it was just awful. It was jokes like, you know, people say laughter's the best medicine. I think it's penicillin. It's like, man, that is like
It's
like a Christmas cracker joke. From like 1982.
Yeah.
It's not even a new Christmas cracker joke.
God,
and for her to complain about
not
getting paid enough when she's been paid millions, absolutely millions. And like, also, that's the free market. It's like when people complain that women's footballers aren't paid enough. It's like, well, go and buy a season's ticket to watch women's football then. But you won't, because it's rubbish.
Nope.
And same with this. Nobody's watching Nanette because it's rubbish. They'll all crow about it. They'll say on Instagram, oh, live Nanette. I'm not actually going to watch it.
But let's go to the next one, John, because comedian David Darris pointed this out.
For this.
Go on, can you summarize it quickly?
We'd turn the noise up. It's only 10 seconds.
Okay, go on.
Turn the noise up.
It's like, we're all human at the end of the day. So I thought it was very funny. There's a few bits that weren't funny, but the same people who tell you that Dave Chappelle the closer wasn't funny are the same people that will straight face look you in the eye and say that Nanette is the greatest comedy special of all time, when we know for a fact Nanette is drizzling shit.
I think both have like comedic value, but
no,
you have to agree
wrong.
With the
Radu, I'll
you
kick
have
you
to
off
agree
the podcast.
With the comedian.
No, Radu. No.
I feel like
Nanette has no comedic value.
Nanette
is shit.
So I can't.
No, listen.
Okay, well.
So that's Darius Davies and the podcast we do together called Three Speech Podcast. And he's right, man. I remember Darius posted saying, like, you know, he posted, man, it was so funny. So Darius is a comedian as well, and he posted on Facebook, he's like, how come it's all the shit on funny comedians who think Nanette is good, who think Hannah Gadsby's funny?
It's a really
and
great
then,
question.
Like, all these, like, shit comedians posted, Nanette was funny. Like, Darius is just like, yeah, you're shit. You're proving my point.
Yeah.
You know?
So a black trans person came out and defended Dave Chappelle. Someone called Flame Monroe is a black transgender comedian. Says, as a comedian, I don't want this to be censored. I think nothing is off limits. The world has become too censored. Yeah. There's three dogs I have in this fight. As a comedian, I don't want to be censored. As a trans woman, I want equality. As a black person, I want fair treatment in this country that we've been trying to get for 400 years. All of this, what you can or cannot say is ridiculous. I absolutely do not think the special should be taken down. I think the great Dave Chappelle has opened up a forum to have a real conversation between the heterosexual and gay community. There is no heterosexual community.
There's no gay community either. I mean, it's this idea of like putting people out. Oh, you've got this, you know, it's like a chicken eating community.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's an individual.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Netflix social media team took to social media and complained about this, saying, to be clear, as queer and trans people who run this account, you can imagine that the last couple of weeks have been hard. And so they complained about that and said they were going to organise a boycott. And so there was a Netflix walkout. If we can get to the next one. Amid cheers and chants of Team Trans.
I think it was more of a mince out than a walkout.
I think that's probably true. Dozens of Netflix employees minced out of a company office in Los Angeles on Wednesday, protesting Chappelle, carrying signs that read, "Hey Netflix, do better, and transphobia is not a joke." I beg to differ. The employees, you think you can make jokes about anything. I got in trouble once, right?
Yeah.
Because I was asked on like Sky News or something, and they're like, do you think racist jokes are funny? I was like, some of them, because they're jokes. But they're like, yeah, but they're racist. Yeah, but they could still be funny.
Yeah.
Because that's the point of a joke. Yeah. Anything could be funny. But anyway.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I've heard that from black comedians as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you know, racist jokes can be horrible and can be cruel.
Sure. But Dave Chappelle's actually a great example of this. I love his white guy voice.
Yeah.
You know, when he does his white guy voice, that's a racist joke. That's funny. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And last night he did a joke. It was very funny about, that could be conceived as racist. Certainly would be racist if I had that, about, black people in Britain. He said he saw a black guy. He said it's not the same as in America, like, because he saw a black guy riding a bike with like cut flowers in the basket. You wouldn't get that in Detroit.
So anyway, Joey Soloway, the creator of Amazon Prime series Transparent, urged Netflix executives to add a transgender person to its corporate board and the entertainment industry as a whole to begin significantly hiring more transgender people.
Well, why didn't they just, somebody on the board can just be like, oh yeah, I'm a woman. You know what I mean?
Checkmate.
Because apparently that's all you need to do.
Yep.
I'm a woman.
But the thing is as well, like, there aren't that many trans people in existence. So they can't just be like, right, we're going to hire loads and loads of trans people, because there just aren't that many.
Well, there's I'm a trans, honestly, like, now that it's becoming, like, it's so easy to become a woman, and also everybody needs to hire a transgender. I'm a woman.
If we ever get called here about diversity quotas, well, I'm happy to transition. Yeah. Anyway,
then
you
got two women.
Exactly. So another person was complaining, of course, but the protest was met with a counter protest. May as well watch some of this, because I agree with this counter protest. Let's play it.
We like jokes. We like jokes.
Something there, John. So the irony of this, of course, is that the trans protesters are literally saying jokes aren't funny.
Yeah.
I mean, that was literally their point. Transphobic jokes aren't funny. It's like, well, it depends.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, you know, people were complaining about this. But if we can get the link up, John, just to show the next one, you can see, you know, Dave is funny, jokes are funny. And that chap there with the jokes are funny sign is a YouTuber called Vito. He's all right. You know, he's like, you know, a sort of centrist, I guess we'd say, YouTuber.
Right.
He does, you know, movie reviews and stuff like that. He seems like a decent chap. And he got harassed and intimidated by this very sane crowd. If we can play the next clip.
And that's a big man.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Free speech rights of all of you. Look, he's got a weapon. He's got a weapon.
He's got a weapon.
He's got a weapon.
drop my weapon?
Yes. Okay. Get in me.
There's my weapon.
We're not trying to have
anything. I'm not distracting anything.
Hi. Excellent shirt there, you see that?
Yeah. Obviously, on somebody's earning about like $170 a year.
I'm just here to say that jokes are funny, people. Dave Chappelle is a funny guy. I love Dave. I don't know why all the violence. I don't know why all the hate. I just love Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle.
I think you can stop it there. Just you can see the quality of people that are involved with this.
Yeah.
But this is important for some reason.
Do we have the video of the big Tonka truck? Oh man, there's like
no.
I don't know if we've got time to
we have. Let me carry on because we're running out of time. Right. So the Netflix employees have produced a list of demands: create a new fund to specifically develop trans and non-binary talent, increased investment in trans and non-binary content on Netflix comparable to our total investment in transphobic content. So pay them as much as they pay Dave Chappelle. What they're asking.
But he's not transphobic.
Ah, well, that's where you're wrong, in their opinion. They say invest in multiple trans creators to make both scripted and unscripted programs. Revise internal processes on commissioning and releasing potential harmful, sensitive content. Hire trans and non-binary content executives, especially BIPOC, in leading positions. Recruit trans people, especially BIPOC, for leadership roles in the company. Eliminate references or imagery of transphobic titles or talent inside of the workplace.
I bet there's none.
Fire a bunch of transphobes. Acknowledge the harm that Netflix is responsibility for this harm from transphobic content, and in particular, harm to the black trans community, which has never been demonstrated.
Fire transphobes. So basically, transphobe is now just a magical word like witch that you can just say at someone and they'll get fired.
Yeah, exactly. Prove you're not a witch. Well, how do I do that?
Yeah. Prove you're not transphobic.
I'm not casting a spell, am I?
Prove you're not transphobic. You'd be like, well, I've never, you know, I haven't done anything.
I've never phobed a trans in my life. I don't know.
Perceive you to be transphobic.
Exactly.
Man, it's ridiculous.
And of course, they want to add a disclaimer before transphobic titles that specifically flags transphobic content, misogyny, homophobia, hate speech, etc. And then suggest trans-affirming content alongside and after content.
Oh, that sounds hilarious. Trans-affirming content. Let's hear your hilarious trans-affirming.
Well, it's Hannah Gadsby, isn't it?
Yeah. Good.
And so you would have thought that this would have just been a bunch of people who got fired, because that's what I would have done if I were the person in charge of Netflix. But instead, the Netflix boss has collapsed over this, and he didn't even wait for the protest to take place. The day before, he was like, "I screwed up that internal communication. I screwed it up in multiple ways. I should have done this. I should have done that." It's like, no, you should have fired these people and never taken them seriously in the first place. Right?
I know you should quit for being a pussy.
Yeah. Yes, you should. But he says, of course, storytelling has a real impact in the real world. I reiterate that because why I work here, and that's what we do. That's why we do what we do. That impact can be hugely positive and can be quite negative. Okay, so you accepting that Dave Chappelle is causing trans people in the black community to die? Well, you know, because that's the allegation.
Yeah.
There's no causal link, and that's what they're claiming.
Yeah.
And so he still stands on his like, well, I don't think it intends to cause physical harm. I don't think it's hate speech. It's like, well, you've accepted all of their premises, and so now you've conceded the ground.
Yeah,
these people
ridiculous.
Were right, and you were wrong.
Mm. That's anyway, ridiculous.
Let's go to the video comments.
I am so angry right now. I'm going to make this quick, but apparently it's 20 grand fines if I'm not vaccinated by the 31st of January. Thank you, Mark McGowan, you smarmy little... But you want to know the kicker? Members of Parliament and the media won't be fined if they're not vaccinated. They're just not allowed to work if there's a lockdown. Why would there be a lockdown if we're all vaccinated, Mark?
Australia is being run by Nazis, man.
Yeah, Australia has really lost the plot. Like, and it's mad, and like coercing people like that into getting vaccinated doesn't encourage you to get vaccinated. I was up for getting the vaccine until the government was like, "Oh no, you've got to get it. Get it right now." You know what I mean? If somebody came, what sort of sales technique is that? You go to the car lot to like look at a new car, and the guy's like, "You got to get this car. You got to get it right now, or I'm going to fucking put you in jail." It's like, whoa, I'm not getting this car.
It makes me think there's something wrong with that car.
Yeah,
because you know, previously I was like, "Oh, maybe I'll get a car," but now I'm like, "Well, I'm a bit sus."
Yeah,
you know, you're acting really weird. Why are you doing this?
Yeah,
you know, but yeah, the Australian government is a bunch of Nazis, and I didn't realize they were going to start fining people $20,000 for not getting the vaccine, and of course, the two-tier society, the politicians and media, exempt.
That's the thing, like the climate change summit. Where they don't have to obey COVID restrictions.
It's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's awful.
And they're like, "Oh, but this is important and we need to be together." It's like, well, so do we.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if it's something that's so important, everybody has to do it.
What happened to the rule of law? What happened to one rule for everyone?
And leading by example.
Exactly. It's obvious and like vanguardist attempt to create a class of people who are just exempt from the rules that the plebeians have to follow.
Yeah.
And as a plebeian, I don't really approve of that. Anyway, moving on to the next one.
Art imitate life, or does life imitate art? The reason why I bring this up is I've been playing Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. In the Legend of Zelda series, there is a race called the Gerudo, an all-female race. Consequently, they need men outside of their race in order to keep their species going. They take fertility classes. And of course, there is a feminist at the back of the class who messes up every lesson, and it is glorious to watch.
I've never heard of that, so I can't comment on it.
And that's in a computer game.
Yes, that's also funny. In Oxford University.
Right.
In Oxford University, they've started giving the women fertility classes.
Really?
Yeah, because they're like, look, don't wait until you're 40 to try and start a family.
Yeah.
You know, you're actually on a ticking clock.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a bit late by then, so, you know, start a bit earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just goes to show how far things have gone, doesn't it?
Well, fertility has plummeted in the West. Absolutely. Like, I think it's 1.4. So the sort of... To maintain the same population, you need between 2.1 and 2.2.
Yep.
And yeah, it's at 1.4.
Yeah.
So we're way below. And to be honest, man, I would have had kids if I could afford to buy a house. You know what I mean? Just build. If I could buy it, it's not a lot. I just want to buy a house I can sit in and have children in.
Just want to sit in my house.
Yeah.
And have children.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
But I want it to be a farmhouse, and I want it to be in Zone 2 of London.
I honestly feel really bad for those we call incels. Everyone is so mean to them, and there's nowhere to go. They have no safe spaces, so to speak. And the safe spaces they create, people are trying to tear down. And the girls who are bullies to them then don't understand why men don't like them. And they get mad at me because men like me. And they say it's because of thin privilege and white privilege and because I'm a dirty traitor to women. No, I just... don't treat men like trash.
Amazing. Yeah, I think incels are just chads who haven't been laid yet. As soon as they get laid, they're going to be like walking down the street like Saturday Night Fever. You know
chads
what I mean?
Who haven't been laid yet.
That's... Yeah, yeah. And I think that the demonization of the pickup artist community is really like the pickup artist community, like despite what people wrote about it in the media, it wasn't, you know, about, you know, abusing or misusing or tricking women or anything. It was mostly just guys who wanted to get a girlfriend, you know what I mean? And developing the social skills and the confidence to get it. It's what women do that for each other.
Absolutely.
But men don't do that for each other.
Women do that in women's magazines. You see this constantly.
Yeah.
But what I love is that what's the main thing we're talking about? Virgins.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of virgins and we're scared of them. They're going to kill people. Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is there anything we can do about it? Well, certainly not have sex with them. Like, you know, sorry ladies, this is up to you now. You know, don't know what I'm supposed to do about it.
Yeah, yeah. Stop a school shooting. Give somebody a hand job.
Let's get the next one.
What follows is conjecture. Much of the anti-incel movement seems to arise from the left or left-leaning voices. The left's current worldview is nurture Trump's nature. In other words, we're all good people. It is the outside influences that make us bad. It follows then that they would treat incels as terrorists. Incels must be indoctrinated as no one is born bad. The idea that there is an inherent immutable component, such as deformity, psychiatric disposition, or intelligence, etc., cannot enter their thinking.
What was that about?
So he was talking about the left nurture over nature. So incels are being created. I think that's what he's saying. Is that?
I didn't hear it.
Is that? I think that's pretty much what he was saying. Right. So I mean, it's interesting. I think incels, yeah, they are. It's a societal thing because you know society for some people can be very atomized and lonely.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, like, but I think incels, man. I'm going to say it again. The pickup artist community wasn't like a toxic thing. I mean, maybe some of them were toxic, but for most of them, it was just guys who wanted to get a girlfriend and wanted to, you know, be better with women, have more choice or whatever. Which, if it was a woman saying that,
no one would complain.
Like, hey, you go, girl! Oh, yeah. you're so sassy.
Men owe you. That's what they would say. Men owe you is the opinion they'd have. But when it comes to these poor men, they're just like, no, you're scum.
Yeah,
you're a terrorist.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Dude just wants a girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Men are just society continually shits on men.
Yeah, yeah.
And then wonders why men are committing suicide and you know, all the rest
no, they
of
don't.
It.
They don't wonder that at all. They just like don't care. You know, that doesn't even come up, does it? I mean, let's go for the next one.
Okay, so I'm going to end up having to do more videos than I wanted to. I apologize. 30 seconds just isn't a long time. But I want to give some pre-context before I touch on the time of Christ. So the religious situation that Christ ends up going into is you have the Jewish religious leaders who were taken in exile and has returned to Jerusalem, practicing monotheism. At the same time, you have the Hebrew people who weren't taken into exile still practicing the ancient faith. And we know this a lot in part to the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's some other archaeology as well, but mainly the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay. That's interesting. Hmm. I've never actually read the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's been one of those things I probably should read.
Yeah.
Just as interesting. But
I guess they're quite short because it was the old days. They didn't have much paper.
No, you'd be surprised.
Are they quite long?
I don't know about the Dead Sea Scrolls in particular, but a lot of ancient texts are actually quite long.
Right.
And they just don't care.
And are they like quite hard to read? Are they like boring?
No. It depends what it is.
Right.
There are, like, I tried reading the Zoroastrian text, and they're insanely boring.
Right.
Insanely boring. I thought, oh, this would be really interesting. It's totally different worldview, and it was just really dull. And I was like, right, I just don't care. But it depends what it is, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff's good. Let's go on to the next one.
This is a radical idea. Everyone also has the responsibility to integrate into their own culture.
That's true.
Is he talking about incels as well?
I think he might actually be talking about progressive activists in the West.
Ah.
Who are sat there complaining about, oh, you know, we'll get rid of America as a concept. It's like, no, you were an American. You have a duty to integrate into that culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise you make people around you uncomfortable.
Yeah. Although I guess annoying, bratty, self-centered protesters, that's part of American culture.
It is now, yeah.
Yeah.
It is now. Let's get to the next one.
Hey, Lotus Eaters, Tony D and Little Joan here with another Legend of the Pines. The Gabriel Davis Tavern House here in Glendora, New Jersey. It was built in 1756 and designated a field hospital during the Revolutionary War by General George Washington. It still has the bloodstains in the attic from that time, and legend has it that the ghosts of the men who died here still walk the grounds.
And it's the dogs being a lot better behaved when you're outside.
Yeah. I've never seen him outside before.
No, I haven't. But I like the fact that the dog is now like knows its place.
Yeah.
You know, it's not yapping and it's not biting.
Yeah.
That's good.
Maybe it's like when you've got like a kid in a pushchair.
Yeah,
of those things that like, and they fall asleep as soon as you're outside.
They do, yeah.
It's like it's the motion and the fresh air and stuff.
But no, I love those Legends of the Pines, man. Let's go to the next one.
Guys, I wanted to show you around this house. I work for a nonprofit that fixes hurricane damaged houses. We had to gut this one to the studs because there was black mold on everything. Just wanted to make Carl jealous by having a satisfying job.
Yes, I am jealous that you have a satisfying job.
Are you not finding this job satisfying?
This job is, but I've done plenty of jobs that were deeply unsatisfying.
Yeah.
And it was always one of those things, especially when I was younger. I was stuck in like the research councils. And even on a rainy day, I'd be, you know, typing. I just look out the window and I'm like, why don't I work outdoors?
Mm.
You know, why don't I do something else? Why do I do this? You
yeah.
know? And thankfully that's not a problem now, but like back then I remember just thinking, God, I wish I made things.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Rather than just changing numbers on a computer.
Yeah.
But anyway, So Henry says, given that it's Biden, and he says the quiet part out loud, does he really mean it will cost nothing because by the end of his term, that's how much $3.5 trillion will be worth? I'm waiting for them to stop printing physical dollars because the linen they make them out of is worth more than the number printed on them. Well, that is literally what's coming at the rate that things are going. Bom Tombadillo says, I reject a reality and substitute my own. Biden probably. I think we're ascribing way too much agency to Biden at this point. I think Biden's just a senile old figurehead. It's Jen Psaki and whoever's running the administration behind the scenes. They're the ones substituting reality with their own. Ryan says, the more I hear about what's happening in America, and the more it looks like the US is being ruled by the false King John Biden. I'm just waiting for the return of Trump the Lionheart. Yeah, I mean, is conquest third law, is it? Explain any the behavior of any bureaucratic organization, just assume it's being ruled by a cabal of its enemies. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of what it looks like. Bucket says, funny how the Democrats won basically everything last year on the federal level. You have zero political momentum less than 12 months later. Yeah, and are generally less popular than the person they made everyone hate. Jacob says, the death penalty is one of those dilemmas of liberal thought. Granted, we can say that there are crimes that without a doubt deservedly get you that sentence. However, will a liberal of any sense hand over that much power to the state to take one of its own citizens' lives? The state that is doomed to make bureaucratic failures. Well, I mean, technically they do, since, you know, they shoot terrorists if they're running around armed and things like that. So it's a matter of negotiation. Clayton says, this is what happens when you let your economy be run by people who hate capitalism. That's true.
Yeah.
And I think they've got this kind of messianic vision. It's like, oh, we're gonna fix the environment, we're gonna fix homelessness, we're gonna fix all the housing crisis, we're gonna fix the job market, we're gonna fix all of these things. Like, look, do you really think that Joe Biden and his administration are the guys for that? Yeah. These are big brain geniuses who are going to fix every problem. I don't think they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are problems that fix themselves when the government steps back.
Yeah, they are.
And like, you need lower taxes, not higher taxes, to fix these things. Lower taxes for you know, not talking about like billionaires and stuff, but lower taxes for regular, you know, the guys in the street.
Yeah.
Like, and then, you know, they're going to spend more money, and, you know, they're going to like
employ more people.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to build things.
Yeah.
The world will get better.
Yeah, I mean, there's a case to be made for improving America's infrastructure because I mean, a lot of the roads and bridges are now, you know, in a state of disrepair. But
the trains are abominable.
Yeah, so I mean, there is, you know, the state does have a role to play, but it always baffles me how, you know, the same people who say, oh, the government's so terrible, blah, blah. It's like, well, what's the solution? And they're like, well, we need a bigger government. It's like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Have we tried even more money from the taxpayers going to people who are unaccountable in every way? No, we shouldn't try that. Anyway, JJHW says, the so-called conservatives are now going to put a tax on meat to help the climate. Get ready to eat the bugs, Untermensch. Are you going to be eating bugs?
I've eaten bugs before. I've eaten locusts in Thailand.
How was that?
Man, they tasted all right. Except they cut my lips because I didn't realize you're supposed to just like not eat the legs. So I was eating the legs as well, and they had these hooks on the legs ripping my lips. But a lot of meat. So for example, lamb, that's very sustainably farmed. It's very cruelty free as well because, you know, it lives outside on pasture. Yep. You can't intensively rear lamb, and that land, you know, upland hill farming can't really be used for anything else.
Yeah, so you're not growing wheat on it.
Yeah, it's not like you're cutting down soy to go. I can understand the case for beef because you got to, you know, cut down soy and corn and all the rest of it for all this feed. But lamb is environmentally sustainable, and the land can't really be used for much else. So it's a good thing to eat.
Risk says, if the COP26 wanted to go seriously wanted to reduce climate change, they'd go ham on China and India. However, because they know they couldn't care less, they go after European and Northern American countries.
Yeah.
Because Western elites love to look like they care about climate change while flying to Glasgow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what this is all about.
Absolutely. So and also they know all the people, all the elitists who are making these rules and setting these taxes and, you know, running the climate change industry, they know they're going to get money from Western countries.
Yep.
They go to Xi Jinping and say, give us some money. He's going to be like,
well, he's just come out recently and been like, right, we need to increase coal production.
Hugely. Because he's seen what's happened in the UK when we slashed our coal production. We have an energy crisis. You know what I mean? So,
They're having an energy crisis as well because they get a lot of their coal from Australia.
Yeah.
And there's recently been a bit of a hoo-ha there, and there's some sort of, you know, blockade or sanctions. And so parts of Beijing were apparently without power for a few days and things like that. And so it's like, you can see where they're like, right, okay, you know, these supply chains can't be relied on indefinitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim, but
another thing is that we do actually export a lot of our, like the UK makes, you know, a great fuss about the fact that only 1% of global emissions come from the UK, but then we're importing a lot of stuff from, because of globalism,
that has been made in China,
So we've just offshored our emissions to other countries. Yeah.
But on the plus side, when we write our spreadsheets, we're only 1%.
Yeah.
So there we go.
It's that data.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. No, that's exactly it. It's that we've massaged the figures so that you don't have to worry about it. Jimbo says, the Netflix employee screaming, he's got a weapon, reminds me of that meme of the SWAT team scream at a child to drop a weapon. It's like, and he's holding a ninth grade sociology textbook. Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? So we break his sign. Oh, he's got a weapon. It's like, dude, I'm just standing here. George Happ says, a question for Leo. How can one differentiate between a comedian's genuine opinion and a performative joke? Late night hosts that use humor as a defense whenever they are challenged on their political positions, and we know that the role of the court jester is to tell the truth from time to time.
Yeah.
Chappelle used his specials to declare himself Team Turf, but then he also said he hates white people. I don't think his George Floyd special was meant to be funny. What do you think?
Well, this is an interesting question, because I mean, my show Cancel Culture, which you can see in London on October the 28th at Top Secret Comedy, in my show Cancel Culture, I dig into this, because whenever a comedian says something that offends people, there's this assumption that people take the statement at complete face value. There's no space for irony or nuance or context or even just the concept that maybe the comedian might have been joking. I mean, sometimes comedians are joking. They're not.
Occasionally, they have been known to.
Yeah, it's not, when you go and see a comedian's show, it's not a manifesto. It's it's literally comedy. So
you need to change that.
So it is. I mean, it blows my mind. And also, man, the thing that people come out, they're like, "Oh, it's not funny." And it's like, well, how can you say it's not funny? I mean, comedy's subjective. There's loads of stuff. I think Hannah Gatsby, like, completely unfunny. I think she's actually objectively unfunny, and I think people are just straining to pretend that they find her funny to make some sort
it's
of political point.
It's the same with
point.
All woke comedy, though.
Yeah, it's clapter all, comedy. Yeah, it's like they make a point and everybody claps. Yeah, it's not. Laughter's an involuntary response. You can't fake laughter, really. So you decide to clap, you don't decide when you laugh.
But what it is she's presented the correct sort of philosophical worldview. Right, she's been like, so I'm sufficiently progressive, and they're like, oh, very good, very
yeah,
good, very
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
And that's what
and
it
by
is.
By clapping, they're saying, look, I am too.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at me.
That's what I wanted to hear. That confirms what I already believed. And you know, it's not like you say the involuntary surprise of laughter. It's all about what's unexpected, right?
Because I get these people in the club sometimes who they'll laugh at a joke, and then you can see them catch the laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then,
I shouldn't
and
have
then
found
they
that
complain.
Funny. Yeah.
And then, like, you know.
Yeah. I know exactly the sort of thing you're talking about. Callum says, Leo, one of my top three favourite Scots. I'm one too, FYI. Just has one problem. He keeps jumping the gun ahead of the script and spoiling everything. Once tell anyone a secret, tell Leo last.
Is that because I started talking about quantitative easing? I didn't actually look at the script for that. So Biden, the Biden bit.
Right.
So I was just jumping in.
Like, it's fine. It's because you know that things are happening.
Yeah.
And Rose finally says, Carl, would you please just read Atlas Shrugged? You keep sort of quoting it without knowing it, and as a bibliophile, it's driving me nuts. Honestly, I've seen Atlas Shrugged. It's massive, and I just don't have time.
Yeah.
And I'm not really... I mean, I've read a bit of Ayn Rand's like essays and stuff, and they're okay, but I'm not an objectivist, so I've never spent the time going into it, and got too many other things to do. But anyway... Carl Shrugged. But I will do one day, I promise. But anyway, if you'd like more from us, you can go to loadcities.com. And if you'd like to find Leo, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter, Leo Kers. I'm on YouTube, man. Like, if you like this, you probably love my YouTube channel. So I've got a bunch of videos on there. So yeah, Leo Kers on YouTube.
And we'll see you tomorrow. Take it easy, folks.
Bye.